Good evening,
and welcome to Asbury on this most holy and special night. If you're visiting with us, we extend a very special welcome to you. We're glad all of you are here, and I encourage you to register your attendance on the pads that are provided. Later in the service, we will be having Holy Communion, and as you leave the chancel rail, the altar guild on either side will hand you a candle for the candlelight portion. If you wish to make a Christmas offering, there's a basket there for you as well. On behalf of the Asbury staff, I wish each and every one of you a very Merry Christmas. Let's worship together. Will you be standing and join with me in the call to worship? Silent night, holy night.
Behold, one born of life.
Born a child, yet a king.
A promise fulfilled, the angels sing.
Sing of love and sing of life.
The Prince of
peace shall end all strife.
Our opening hymn of worship this evening is 218. It came upon a midnight clear.
Thank you.
your reading from Luke chapter 2, verses 6 and 7.
While they were there, the time came for her to deliver her child, and she gave birth to her first son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger.
We light this candle as a symbol of Christ, the steadfast hope of our personal salvation. Jesus Christ is our hope in life when we find ourselves facing a world of despair. Let the light of your hope and belief in Jesus Christ as Savior of all be your counsel and guide this season and forevermore. Please join us in the congregational prayer response. Our Heavenly Father, we give thanks for your Son, Jesus Christ. That in doing so, others would experience the difference having Christ in our lives makes for all who know Him. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Mary, did you know that your baby boy would one day walk on water? Mary, did you know that your baby boy would save our sons and daughters? Did you know that your baby boy has come to make you new? This child that you delivered will soon deliver you. Mary, did you know that your baby boy would give sight to the blind man? Mary, did you know that your baby boy would calm the storm with his hand?
I invite the children to come forward to come meet me right down at the front.
Thank you.
Christmas. I'm so glad to see you all. You all look so nice. Have you already taken your family picture? Oh, you will. You will. You look wonderful. Well, we all know this is a special night. What's this called? Christmas Eve. And it was one special night, and I'd like to share with you a story. Long ago, a woman named Mary lived in a town called Nazareth. Mary loved God very much and always tried to do what was right. One day, God sent his angel, Gabriel, to her for a very special message. Mary was startled to see him. "Hello, Mary. Don't be afraid. God has chosen you to have a special baby boy. You will name him Jesus, and he will be God's son." "How can this be?" Mary asked. "Nothing is impossible for God," Gabriel answered. Mary nodded. "I am God's servant. I will do whatever he asks of me." Months later, the Roman emperor announced that he wanted all the people in the land counted. Every person needed to return to his hometown. Mary was engaged to a man named Joseph. "Mary, we must go to Bethlehem for the census," Joseph said. The journey to Bethlehem was long and Bethlehem was crowded, and when Mary and Joseph got to the little town, there was no room for them at the inn. But Mary and Joseph found a warm, clean stable, and while they were there, Mary gave birth to a baby boy, Jesus, and laid him in the soft hay of the manger. Nearby, a group of shepherds were watching over their sheep. All of a sudden, an angel appeared out of the darkness. "I bring you good news of great joy," the angel said. "Today a Savior has been born. You will find him wrapped in cloths, lying in a manger." Then the sky was filled with angels all around them, and the angels praised God and sang a joyful song, "Glory to God in the highest, peace on earth to God's people." As quickly as they appeared, the angels were gone. "We must go to Bethlehem to find what the angel told us about," the shepherds said to each other. The shepherds hurried to see if what they had been told was true, and when they got to Bethlehem, they found the place where Mary and Joseph were staying, and the shepherds looked in, and there among the sheep and the cows, they saw a newborn baby lying in a manger. They excitedly told Mary and Joseph what the angel had said about their special baby boy. "He is the Savior. He is Christ the Lord." After their visit, the men talked about what they had seen and heard, and everyone the shepherds talked to about the baby was amazed. Then they went back to their sheep, praising and thanking God for all the way. Wise men from afar had been watching the stars in the sky when a bright star appeared. They knew something important had happened. A special king had been born. The wise men followed the star and traveled many, many miles. Finally, the star stopped above a house. They found Jesus there with Mary, and they knew he was the king they were looking for. Bowing low to the ground to worship him, the wise men gave Jesus gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. One special night in Bethlehem, God sent us his son, the Savior for all people, and his name was Jesus. Amen. Let us have a prayer. Most gracious Heavenly Father, we are so thankful for our children because they remind us that Jesus was once a child, grew up, loved us, taught us, died for us, rose for us, and is with us now through the gift of your love, through the gift of your light. So we thank you for these children, and we remember the wonderful words of Jesus Christ, who said, "Unto such is the kingdom of heaven." So, Father, we thank you for this blessed day, and we thank you for Jesus our Lord. In his name we pray. Amen. I've got you a Christmas treat, if you care to have one. And Merry Christmas to you all.
It's a joy to have children amongst us on this fabulous Christmas Eve night. Let us bow our heads with a word of prayer. Gracious and merciful God, what a joy it is to gather together on this Christmas Eve where we celebrate the gift of your Son. That love incarnate is amongst us and will always be amongst us. Lord, for some of us, we didn't travel too far to be here, but our spirits are rejoicing and are excited to give you praise. Some of us journeyed many miles to be here and are relieved to be with family and celebrating you. However, God, we know there are folks out there that haven't quite gotten the Christmas spirit yet, or who are struggling with sad memories around this time of year. Father, we pray for them and seek for you to bless them, to give them peace and the assurance that you are with them this Christmas. Holy One, there are those who are lonely, cold, hungry, without shelter, and we especially pray for those persons who need you more than ever this Christmas. May you be a strong foundation for them that they can rest their hope and faith on. How sweet it is, majestic God, that we gather to sing, hear your scriptures read, your word proclaimed, and take part in the holy meal of communion on this Christmas Eve. May we not take for granted all the blessings we have received and cherish these moments of gathering around the manger. For we know the little Christ child born so long ago is indeed the King of Kings, who offers love, grace, forgiveness, strength, and redemption to all. Guide us in the days ahead, and remember to help us to keep the Christmas spirit. Help us to hold on to Christ and keep him strong within our hearts so that we might share him with others in this world. We give you the honor, give you the glory and the praise, Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.
Our hymn of meditation this evening 230, O little town of Bethlehem. We'll sing verses 1, 3, and 4. Let us be standing.
This evening, it's my privilege to share with you from God's holy word as recorded in the Old Testament, the book of Isaiah, the 11th chapter, verses 1 through 6. May the people of God be enriched in this reading and hearing of God's holy word as recorded by the prophet Isaiah, the 11th chapter, verses 1 through 6. There shall come forth a shoot from the stump of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. And the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord, and his delight shall be in the fear of the Lord. He shall not judge by what his eyes see or decide by what his ears hear. But with righteousness he shall judge the poor and decide with equity for the meek of the earth. And he shall smite the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips he shall slay the wicked. Righteousness shall be the girdle of his waist, and faithfulness the girdle of his loins. The wolf shall dwell with the lamb, and the leopard shall lie down with the kid, and the calf and the lion and the fatling together. And a little child shall lead them. The word of God for the people of God. Merry Christmas. Most of us love receiving Christmas cards. A few years back, we received a Christmas card, quite unusual. Have never received one like that before, nor since. In fact, what was on the front of the card, I've only seen two other times, with the birth of my own children. For on the front of that Christmas card was an inky baby footprint. The implication, clearly, that we were celebrating the birth of a baby. But not just any baby, God's child. Christ the Lord has been born, and indeed he has. Over 2,000 years ago, a very real event happened. A baby was born to its destiny of being our Savior. He didn't ask to be born. He didn't. He didn't have a say at all. It was God's way and God's will in order to bring himself to us. To enter our world, to be a part of us. And what better way to be a part of us than to be among us, like us. Christ came to meet and fulfill God's purpose, and did so in the form of a real squalling, giggling, wiggling, cooing, hungry, delightful baby. The prophets had foretold about him, but many believed if the Messiah was to be the Son of God, it must be like a myth. It was going to be something that happened way, way, way away. God isn't God if he becomes human, is he? He's just another human, isn't he? Just another baby. C.S. Lewis wrote, "Our world has many myths about gods and saviors, but the startling difference is exactly that Jesus was a real, live person." A husband loses his keys. Husbands do that. Now they lose their phones. They ask their wife, "Have you seen my keys? Do you know where my keys are?" Well, that can be something that you venture to go look for together. And you can think about the shepherds. The shepherds could have just said, "Hey, do you know where this is happening?" Or like the shepherds, you can get up and go look for your keys. The shepherds got up and went, as I shared with the children a while ago, to see if what the angel had said was true. If it really occurred. They got up, they ran, they found the baby just as the angelic host had said, wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. The reality of Jesus didn't stop there. No. Jesus grew up like children grow up. Jesus played like children play. Jesus took trips with his parents like kids take trips with their parents. Jesus went to church or temple. And he learned at the temple. And he was filled with the wisdom and the knowledge of God to the point where he taught in the temple. And on the mountains and on the beachside and anywhere the people of God were. He saved lives, performed miracles, and eventually the truth that he was sharing caused his death, and he died with dignity. Triumphed over death, over that grave, and resurrection and grace. All of this is documented, not once, not twice, but many times over. All of these events, life-changing. And Jesus is still changing lives. He is not a myth. He is in the miracle business. Many of you have personally experienced those wonderful, fabulous miracles. Many of you are in need of a miracle. Jesus is the one to go to ask for it. A man walks into my congregation and is as lost as a person can be. He hears God's words of love and forgiveness, and suddenly he understands, like a light bulb goes off and he gets it. Life-changing truth, such that he feels restored in not only the faith of God, but faith in himself again. A visitor comes through those doors. It's a woman. You can tell she's just in a panic. She's lost her job. A relationship has ended. And she has anxiety through every core and every breath of her being. She feels all alone until some of you speak to her. And she finds people are nice again. They invite her to come to a group or a class. She feels accepted again. She feels noticed. She feels valued. She soaks up the warmth of the fellowship of Christ, and it is tonic to her soul. And all of these scenarios I've just described are done in the name of the man called Jesus. And these people who have extended the kindnesses and noticed and offered hospitality, they know this Jesus. They do this because they know Jesus. He is their Savior, and their words and their actions are done out of love, not out of duty. Out of hope, not out of expectation. Out of love, not out of obligation. Because this man has changed their life. Is Jesus a myth to you this evening? Something that we just read about in storybooks? Something that we just see in Christmas movies? Something we just see in children's pageants? Or is Jesus a miracle that you've experienced? Do you allow him to get into your business, or do you keep him at arm's length? Just close enough to grab when you need him. Have you ever had a friendship that's needs-based? We might be careful that our relationship with Jesus is not just needs-based only. Do we keep him close enough just to grab when we need him, but not too close that he may affect us? The prophet Jeremiah said the words of God, "I have loved you with an everlasting love, therefore I have continued my faithfulness to you." My friends, enter this night into this enormous mystery that, like Jesus, you too are his beloved son or daughter of God. And that's a little intimidating, to put ourselves with Jesus as a child of God. Because Jesus is the perfect child of God, and you and I are not perfect, and we're very aware of that. And yet, God does not make us become perfect in order to love us. That's the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's called grace. We are given this gift of Jesus and this gift of eternal salvation all in one package without deserving it. This kind of love from God preceded your birth, preceded mine, because God has claimed us as his own for all eternity. Hear the words from the Psalms 139:13. O God, thou didst form my inner being. Thou didst knit me together in my mother's womb. I will praise thee, for thou art wonderful. God gave Jesus for one purpose: to live within you, to redeem you, that you might live with the Lord forever. God gave Jesus to live within you. I was serving a church over a decade ago, about the size of Asbury. We were doing something unusual that night in terms of distributing the communion elements. We passed out all the wafers or bread. Each one would take one and pass it to the person sitting next to them. Then the trays were passed, and each one would take a cup and pass the tray to the next person, and they would take one, and so forth. But we broke in between the two. This is the body of Christ given for you, and each ate their bread at the same time. This is the blood of Christ shed for you. Each had their cup of juice at the same time. The one body of Christ partook of the one meal of Christ. This is the body of Christ given for you. Do this in remembrance of him. Down about three rows up from the pulpit, I could hear a little girl as she had eaten her wafer and had had her juice, say loudly over to her mother sitting next to her, "Is he in me yet?" How prophetic. The prophecy of Isaiah, a little child shall lead them. A little child led me to the truth that night. Is Jesus in you yet? Christmas is the message from God, I love you. Of all the choirs that have ever sung, of all the bells that have ever pealed, of all the voices of the congregations that have ever sung, of all the messages that have ever been preached, of all the words of Scripture that have ever been read, nothing has been as pleasing to the ear of God as the words from His people who say, "I love you too, God, and I want to live for you." Myth or miracle? Which is it going to be? One holds all the possibilities, the fantasies, the expectations. The other holds the reality, the eternity, the blessings, and the hope that does not disappoint. This Christmas, I hope that you will join me and let's run away from the commercial myths, the trappings of sentiment, and run toward the miracle of eternal love, which is ours for this moment and every moment of our lives. This night, of all the nights or in the morning, of all the moments you have with your family, it would be my prayer that the ultimate gift you open will be that of Jesus our Lord. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
It is a joy to be gathered to celebrate Holy Communion on this very holy night indeed. A word of instruction to say that as you come forward for Holy Communion, know that all are invited to receive the bread and the juice. This is not Asbury's table. It's not a United Methodist table. We believe it to be Christ's table. Christ died for all, and so all are free to come and receive if you so desire. The ushers will direct you forward, and you'll receive the bread and a cup, and you can use this prayer rail here if you would like to take a minute or two of prayer. And as you journey through, an altar guild person will hand you a candle for the end of the service, and also we have Christmas offering baskets on either side. If you feel so led to give an offering, we rejoice in that. Remember that we also have a gluten-free option available as well. Please read along with us in the liturgy that is printed in your bulletin. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. Father, at this blessed Christmas feast, we give you thanks and praise. You created out of darkness and brought forth life on earth. You made us in your image, and though we have all sinned and fallen short of your glory, you loved the world so much you gave your only Son, Jesus Christ, to be our Savior. As Mary and Joseph went through Galilee to Bethlehem, and there found no room, so Jesus went from Galilee to Jerusalem and was despised and rejected. As in the poverty of a stable, Jesus was born. So from suffering and death, you raised him to bring us life. Therefore, with the angels who sang, "Glory to you in the highest and peace to your people on earth," with your people in all ages, in the whole company of heaven, we join in the song of unending praise, saying, "Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest."
Truly holy are you, and blessed is your Son, Jesus Christ. As your word became flesh, born of a woman on that night long ago, so on the night he offered himself up for us, he took the bread. He gave thanks unto you. He broke the bread gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this as often as you eat it in remembrance of me." After the supper was over, he took the cup. He gave thanks unto you. He gave it to his disciples and he said, "Drink ye all of this, for this is my blood of the new covenant, poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Drink it as often as you do in remembrance of me." Therefore, in remembrance of your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we ask you to accept this, our sacrifice for us, as a living and holy surrender of ourselves. Let us join in. Christ has died. Christ has risen. Christ will come again. Send the power of your Holy Spirit on us and on these gifts, that in the breaking of this bread and the drinking of this wine, we may know the presence of the living Christ, be one in him, cleansed by his blood, faithfully serve him in the world, and look forward to his coming in the final victory. Through him, in him, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty God, now and forever. Amen. We'd invite those who are going to assist us to please come forward at this time.
During the singing of our final hymn, 239, Silent Night, Holy Night, the pastors during the singing will light their light from the Christ candle, a symbol of sharing Christ's light and his love to all of us. On the fourth verse, the final two phrases, "Christ the Savior is born, Christ the Savior is born." If we will hold up our candles at that time so that we can there thus proclaim that Christ indeed has come.
May you feel the light of God's love as you extend the peace of his Son, Jesus Christ, to all. Amen.